The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You may be seated. Let's pray together. You broke our bonds of sin and shame. And we're free. Father, what amazing love is this, that You would send Your Son, our rock and our Redeemer, to come into this world, to live a life of humiliation and woe, and then to give Himself up on Calvary, being obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Father, He stood in our place and bore all of our sins and carried away all of our guilt and shame. We give You thanks and praise. And we now ask that You would draw near to us by Your Spirit, and that You would empower the preaching of the Word. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in our weakness, even now. In Christ's name, amen. So this morning we covered the first half of verse 26. I had higher aspirations than that, but I trust that God knew what we needed, knows what we need, and we got as far as God wanted us to get. So we started by talking about just this really simply amazing truth that the Holy Spirit, third person of the eternal Godhead, helps us. He's our helper. And He helps us in our weakness. We talked about the importance of acknowledging the fact that we are weak people. If you have the pretension that you're strong, then you're simply deluding yourself. We're weak. All of us. We all need God's help. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And the way that that weakness transitions in Paul's thought in the text is that weakness transitions into an ignorance so that we don't know what to pray. There are times when we are at a loss. The suffering, the affliction, the pain, the confusion seems overwhelming. And we don't know how to pray. Because we're weak, we know we ought to pray. But in our weakness, we often don't know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit comes and He helps us. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, which is absolutely marvelous. It's stunning. There's this mysterious sense where the third person of the triune Godhead who lives inside of us intercedes on our behalf to the first person of the triune Godhead. The Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father on our behalf. And what the Holy Spirit is doing, why this is important, is because in my weakness, in my ignorance, I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know whether to, as it were, stand or flee. I don't know. And even when I don't know, I have the utmost confidence that the Spirit of God who lives in me knows exactly how to pray. Then Paul says this, with groans or groanings too deep for words. Now, this ends up being sort of a tricky little phrase in a sense. Who is groaning here? Well, in the context, it's the Spirit's groans. Okay? Now, there are times where God's truth is like this power surge that's way too big for your circuit board. Okay, this is one of them. The omniscient, sovereign Spirit intercedes for you with groans. Now, this word groan has already been used twice in the text, right? There is this where we groan within ourselves, this is 22 and 23, and then all creation groans, right? And so then the question is, why is the Spirit groaning? It's actually not that hard. He is groaning in his intercession because he is representing us, and he's representing us in our needs, in our suffering, in our deficiencies, in our limitations, in our groaning. In a sense, you could say our groans become his groans. Do you believe that God is eternal? Do you believe that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is eternal? Do you believe he's infinite? Do you believe he's omniscient? Omnipotent? Right? The picture that Paul paints for us is this stunning picture of the third member of the eternal, infinite, triune Godhead who lives inside of me, who is groaning, as it were, as he makes intercession for me to the Father. Do you know what that means? I don't think. But I do know at least this, that it demonstrates that our God, our triune God, our infinite, eternal, majestic, transcendent, holy God, is also a personal God who is near to his people, an eminent God who is close to us, a God who is so close to us that he is within us, and he is so full of compassion for us that he takes our unutterable groans with us, and then intercedes to the Father on our behalf. That is staggering. Let's say that doubt starts to wrap its tentacles around your heart. And you go to pray. And you have so much doubt swirling around in your mind and your affections that all you can say is, oh God. The Spirit of God says, I'll intercede for you. That's all you can get out right now? That's okay. I'll intercede for you. I will take your, oh God, and I will translate it into what the Father needs to hear from you. Imagine that you are under a burden of physical affliction. And the only thing that you can get out is, Father, I know you're faithful. And you don't know exactly what to pray other than just knowing that your Father is faithful. And the Holy Spirit says, it's okay. I know how to take your unutterable groans and turn them into intercession to the Father. Now, what are these groans? There's really some very lively debate among the commentators. But let me just say this, that it is not tongues. I could give you maybe 10 or 12 reasons why it's not tongues. Let me just give you the most important. First of all, we could debate whether tongues are normative or not in the church. I don't think that they are. But I'm not going to base my argument on that. This right here, the Spirit interceding with groans too deep for words, is something the Holy Spirit does for every Christian. And if there's anything that's clear in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and that is, not all speak in tongues. All right? So this groaning, whatever it is not some sort of polysyllabic, amorphous, cadence-laden vocalization of subconscious morphemes. What are the groans? Literally, the word says, the word that describes them, New American Standard says too deep for words. Okay? The word that's used is just wordless. Groans which are wordless. So you could say the groans are unspoken, or New American Standard does a fine job. Too deep for words. Other translation, cannot be uttered. Inexpressible. Wordless. John Murray does the best, I think. He says, these groans transcend articulated formulation. Now, to be sure, we groan in our ignorance, and we groan in our weakness. We groan in our limitations. We groan in our doubt. We groan in our fears. But the Spirit who dwells in you and me knows all, so that he intercedes with an intercession that's not expressed in words. So when I cry out, I'll just tell you, the most common prayer I've prayed over, became a Christian in 1980, so however many years ago that was. The prayer that I've prayed more than anything else in, what is that, 42 years? Is that 42 years? Okay. The prayer that I've prayed most, you got to watch my math. The prayer that I've prayed the most in 42 years is this, God help me. Right? So there you are in distress, and you say, I don't know what to pray. Father, help me. And the devil says, is that all you got? Really? Help me? That's the best you can come up with? And the Holy Spirit, as it were, says, don't worry. I know how to pray for you. And I'll take your Father, help me, and I will turn it into intercession on your behalf. Now, how do I know that's happening? I don't know that that's happening because somehow I start to feel it happening. It's not as if, oh, good, put it on cruise control. The Spirit's interceding. I don't need to worry about it. That's not the point. Here I am. I'm groaning. I don't have words. I don't know what to pray. And so how do I know that the Holy Spirit is actually interceding for me with unutterable utterances? And here's how I know. I know it by faith. I know it in the very same way that I know that the Son of God is seated at the right hand of the Father and He ever lives to make intercession for me. How do I know that Jesus Christ, as my great high priest, is praying for me even now because He ever lives to make intercession? And the answer is not because I've heard Him pray. Could you imagine? Those disciples in the garden. Oh, they were asleep. They didn't hear Him pray. What about the disciples in that upper room? Oh, to hear the Son of God pray. Could you imagine? Hear the Son of God pray. How do I know He prays for me? How do I know He intercedes for me? Because the Bible tells me so. That's all I need to know. The Bible tells me so. I believe it. God has said it. I believe it. That's all. How do I know the Spirit of God will take my groan, take my limitations, take my deficiencies, take all of my weaknesses, and actually take me and me as messy me and intercede to the Father on my behalf? I know it by faith. And so when I agonize and when I'm perplexed and when all I can do is just let out a desperate cry in my weakness, the Holy Spirit takes up praying for me without words. That's awesome. And it's true whether our puny little faith believes it or not. Remember when I was a new Christian, when my mom was a new Christian, she went like refrigerator magnet crazy. Man, she'd go to the Foothill Scripture House. She'd buy magnets. There wasn't like a square inch open on our refrigerator. They were just magnets. And they were all Christian magnets. You know what a Christian magnet is, but they were refrigerator magnets and she used to have one that said, God said it, right? I believe it. That settles it. Okay. You know that's wrong. Okay, I'm not going to... My mom knows it's wrong now, too, all right? She's probably thinking, I wish I'd have taken that off of the refrigerator along with the other things. It's wrong because it should say this: God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not. Oh, hey, does it help to believe it? You better believe it helps to believe it. But you believing it doesn't settle it. God saying it settles it. So how do you know the Spirit of God in those moments when you're in the darkness and the tears are flowing and you want to pray and you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to say? How in the world do you know that intercession is being made for you because God said so? What a comfort. What a comfort. Now, notice verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay. I just want to say, verse 27 is mind-boggling, all right? We're going to come back to this little phrase, searcher of hearts, in a minute, because it's God the Father who searches the hearts. But here's God the Father searches the hearts, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And you say, well, of course God the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is. It's one God. Do you not think the Father knows what the Spirit thinks? Well, of course he does, because in a very real sense, there's one mind, there's one will. But the emphasis here that Paul's making, and it is so important for us, it's good for us. The distinction that Paul is making is a distinction of persons, so that he's emphasizing the fact that the Father knows what's in the heart of the one who does not know what to pray, and the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And the reason the Father knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he, the Spirit, intercedes for the saints, and he intercedes for the saints always according to the will of God. Imagine that, God praying the will of God. The reason the Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God is because the Spirit who lives in you, that's his will. And so the Father, this picture is the Father who welcomes and answers the prayers of the Spirit, just as sure as he answers and welcomes the prayers of his own Son. I love old Professor John Murray, his commentary on Romans is pure gold, and he says this. He says, as God searches the hearts of the children of God, he finds unuttered and unutterable groanings. Though they are thus inarticulate, there is a meaning and an intent that cannot escape the omniscient eye of God. They are wholly intelligible to him. And furthermore, they're found to be in accordance with his will. Since they are the intercessions of the Holy Spirit, they always meet the understanding and approval of God. They are agreeable to his will, as are the intercessions of Christ at the right hand of God. What an encouragement. There may be times, you got to read the Bible with a little imagination, okay? You ever pray something and it's just wrong? Oh, you guys, you're way too pious. So I'm 20, 21 years old, newly married, and Ariel and I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And I had this brilliant idea. What we should do is we should go to Wells Fargo and ask them for money. You remember this? This is my idea. And so, well, how much should we ask for? I don't know. Maybe like 5,000. What do you think? Well, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Yeah, pay off some credit cards and, you know, and be able to, you know, go to Monterey for a day. Okay, sounds good. So we go in, and of course, you know, they look at us and fill stuff out. And I remember I was working at Michelin Tire, and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, give us that loan. Give us that loan. Turn the loan officer's heart like channels of water in your hand. Lord, I know that I know. And, you know, so I end up getting a call, and it's the loan officer from Wells Fargo. And she says, sorry, we're not going to give you any money, you idiot. And I put the phone down. I went back, and I wasn't very smart. And I went back and I punched the inside container of the container I was unloading. And I was like, Lord, why did you say no? And here's the reality. While I'm praying, God, give us this loan. The Holy Spirit's saying, Father, don't give him that loan. As I'm praying, Lord, I know that you're going to give it to us. The Holy Spirit says, I know you're not going to give it to him. Right? And so I'm so glad for the sovereign, omniscient Spirit who lives inside of me that actually overrides my stupidity. He not only helps me in my weakness, he overrides my stupidity. That would have been another really good verse. The Spirit helps you in your weakness and he overcomes your stupidity.
And so here's the Spirit of God, and what does he do? He intercedes for us. What an encouragement to the child of God. And so you know what? To say it like this. At the end of the day, because the Spirit of God who lives in you, no prayer is ever prayed amiss by the Spirit of God. I may pray amiss, but the Spirit of God overrides my weakness and my stupidity. It tickles me to death. I think the Holy Spirit just telling the Father, don't give him that loan. Don't give it to him. He's so dumb, he can't do math, he'd never pay it back. Now, I want to return to this one phrase, the one searching the hearts. Now, there's obviously a very good reason why Paul puts it like this. The one who searches the hearts, verse 27, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because he, the Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That little phrase, the one who searches the hearts, is this rich biblical phrase. It's a biblical title for God. Consider these texts. You don't need to look at them. I'll read them to you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. But notice that the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. Psalm 39:1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Proverbs 15:11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore do not go on passing judgment before time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things in darkness, and he will disclose the motives of men's hearts. Jesus in Revelation 2:23, all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and the minds. The God with whom we have to do is the searcher of hearts. That very phrase and that very reality is an encouragement to some and a terrifying exposure to others. To some, a person that has a, as it were, a sincere heart to know that God searches my heart and he knows my thoughts and the intents of my heart, that there is a sense where that brings me comfort. Not that I think that somehow my heart is perfect or the intents of my heart are perfect, because they're not. But to actually know that there is a God who knows me better than I know me, there is a God who searches my heart, searches the thoughts and intents of my heart, and actually knows everything that's going on inside of me, actually brings comfort to me. Even this week, I felt it at certain points as if my heart was divided, and there was this sense of the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He knows the distractions in my mind. He knows the distractions of my heart. He knows them. He sees them. He actually is the perfect knower of my heart. And thanks be to God, I cannot escape him. And I cannot escape his gaze. And so, child of God, take comfort that there is one who sees everything inside of you, knows every thought, searches your heart, knows the intents, knows the motives. For others, that should scare you to death. Because what it means is that it means that God really sees if you're in a bad place. For the hypocrite, this very phrase, searcher of heart, should be terrifying. Do you know what it means? God sees through the disguise, faker. We're good. We are good putting on the face. We're good at communicating to people what we want them to think about us. Okay? Adam's fallen children are not without skills. They're just twisted skills. We may put on a good face at church. We may put on a good face with certain people. We may say pious words. We may offer up shallow prayers. We may even engage in superficial Christian conversation. We may even read the Bible in a cursory, shallow way to assuage our own conscience. And God sees through it all. He is neither fooled nor impressed. He sees through false, pious words. There was a guy, used to go to church here years ago, ended up being put under discipline, put out of the church. But boy, this guy, he was so good with his words, in the way that he'd talk to you, encourage you, the way that he'd sprinkle scripture on his conversation. And there was always this sense of, wow, that guy really knows God. But he didn't. And so I could stand there impressed, and God saw right through it at the very moment. God sees through shallow prayers. You ever pray a shallow prayer? Shallow prayers, more of a religious function. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. That's all I ever hear. No one aches. No one cries. No one even sheds one tear. And the shallow prayers in the heart of hearts of the shallow prayer does not care whether those prayers get past the ceiling. Because he's not praying them for God to hear. He's praying them for others to hear. And God sees it. And God knows it. And for all of our God talk, for all of the ways that, have you ever been talking to somebody and you give the Christian platitude because that's what you're supposed to give? Those are the words you're supposed to say. And you spit them out And even as they roll off of your tongue, they might roll off with relative ease, but there's something about it that testifies in your spirit that you didn't mean that. Well, guess what? The God of heaven, the searcher of hearts, knew you didn't mean it before it even came off your tongue. God's word goes into the deepest parts of us. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it lays us bare. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. It lays us bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's make this as applicable as possible. God knows right now the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Right now. He knows those who are saying, Lord, have mercy on me and my insincerity. And he knows those who are thinking, when is this guy going to shut up so I can go home? Enough of this. He knows. And he judges according to truth. You cannot fool the searcher of hearts. You can't. You can fool mom and dad. You can fool husband or wife. You can fool Christian friends. But you can't fool the searcher of hearts. Period. He knows how to discern between the believer and the make-believer. He knows how to discern between that which is real gold and that which is fool's gold. He knows how to discern between a real, genuine profession of true faith and that which is a mere profession of faith. He is the searcher of hearts. Which means if you are not a Christian, the only thing for you to do is to give up. Give up. Lay down the arms of resistance. Lay down the fakery, which is nothing but a mockery. Lay it down and ask the God of heaven, the searcher of hearts, to come and to change you, to save you, to forgive you, to give you a new life. And he will. Christian. He's the searcher of hearts. Give up. Give up false piety. Give up shallow prayers. Give up the superficiality. Why? Because God knows. You know, God actually searches the heart in such a way that he knows whether we see ourselves as weak or strong, needy or self-sufficient. Here's how we are. So, oh, I'm such a miserable, pathetic sinner. I wonder what they think of my humility. I am. That was pretty humble. I am such a poor, pathetic sinner. God must be so unbelievably patient with me. Wow, you're so humble. I am. That's how we are. May God help us to put it to death. May God help our confession of weakness be because we really feel our weakness, not because we know we're supposed to be weak. And so I'm going to boast in my weakness because I'm supposed to boast in my weakness. But at the bottom, I know I'm not that weak. God searches us. He knows the mind of His Holy Spirit. He hears our prayers. He hears our imperfect, deficient, weak prayers. And the Spirit of God intercedes for us so that the intercession is made according to the will of God. And my friends, that is indeed good news. And so I have two intercessors. In fact, in just a few verses, Paul's going to say this. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, who was rather raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. My name is graven on His hand. My name is written on His heart. He ever lives to make intercession for me. My little children, I write these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I have an exalted, resurrected, glorified Savior who's seated at the right hand of God, who prays for this pathetic, weak sinner. But I also have another helper who lives inside of me, who also intercedes for this poor, pathetic, weak sinner. What a gracious and kind Savior. What a loving and tender Heavenly Father. What a gentle and understanding, indwelling Holy Spirit. What more could God have done for you than He has already done? He has given you Himself. Therefore, you lack nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the comfort and encouragement that we have, knowing that Your Spirit intercedes for us. Lord, we thank You that we can have the confidence that every prayer that comes from Your Spirit on our behalf is always according to Your will, and You will not deny the third person of the Godhead who prays according to Your will. Help us to believe that. We also pray, Father, that we would take to heart the sobering reality that You see and know everything. And to think that You would search our hearts and know me for what I am and love me anyway is an astonishing thing. Receive our gratitude as we participate in the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.